From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Kia ora, Troy, how are you?
I'm okay, how are
okay
you?
Okay is good.
Yes, it
I'm good, yeah, no, I am good. I'm excited because you have brought us three very nice looking tracks here.
All right, let's dive in and see what we've got here. Let's
All
try
right.
this one. Now, in 2007, I think it was, Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth released his second solo record. And so where is it in the Sonic Youth chronology? I think it came after Rather Ripped,
okay.
Before The Eternal. Anyway, this was a record he put out on his own Ecstatic Peace label back in the day.
That still
Check
exists, Pista. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Ecstatic Peace, yeah. Whoa, that is a mint green marbled record.
So the album is called Trees Outside the Academy. Thurston recorded it at Jay Maskus's house. In Jay's house, on like the third floor of Jay's house, he's got a fully equipped recording studio.
That is very cool and also very on brand for Jay Maskus.
Totally. So you hear violin. You didn't hear violin in any Sonic Youth stuff.
No. Who is the violin in this?
Samara. Oh, I can't remember her last name. Samara. Can't remember.
How do you think Thurston sees? He's got a very long fringe. Do you think he has little clips when he's like recording and he clips his fringe back?
Well, from what I know of my interactions with Thurston, he doesn't necessarily look at anything.
It's called shoegaze for a reason. Although this is not very shoegazy at all.
So I think what this record, when this record came out, I thought, magnificent. I think what it makes clear is that the people who are sort of only peripherally aware of Sonic Youth don't hear the very sort of harmonically traditional sort of folk rock bass to all of their stuff.
Mm.
You know, so some of the stuff made it clear that they like the Grateful Dead, or rather Lee Ronaldo did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of their...
Obviously the Carpenters being one of their major influences too. There's
There was a Carpenters connection with Sonic Youth. But I do think that when Thurston's songwriting is stripped down like it is like this, you can kind of hear where it's coming from. And to me, it's always sounded like it's coming from autumn, the season.
That's a very astute observation. Reject his record, eject the lady's master tape. It's not that she won't rewind her desire to take shape. I like Thurston's necklace.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
See, I don't recall if this came out on vinyl first time. It probably did. Knowing Thurston, it would have, but I never saw it. And so it's kind of cool that there's now this...
mottled green vinyl. It's got a... For people who like to visualise, like me, the cover, it's got a picture of Thurston with a very long fringe and a very nice necklace, shredding his guitar.
Looking tall.
Looking very tall on the front.
He would even make you look short.
Yeah. I mean, he's a very lanky man. And then on the back, it's got Thurston. You can see one of his eyes in this photo, but he is having to, like, squint from underneath the fringe, standing against a map of the world.
Okay, now listen to this guitar line. Who do you think that is? That's Maskus.
Oh, that's Maskus.
Yep.
It is a much cleaner sound than people who maybe have come from the Sonic Youth angle might expect.
Well, it actually sounds very quiet for Jay Maskus, but... Mm.
Get that shaker. So is much of the record like this, Troy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's most of it is kind of minor key, mid to up tempos. Samara does play, I think, on just about every song, the violin.
Cool.
The drummer is Sonic Youth drummer Steve Shelley. There's quite a few other guests on it as well, but Trees Outside the Academy, which I always figured was a reference, not specifically to Jay's house, but to the street that he lives in, which is in Amherst, Massachusetts. a very lovely leafy college town.
Very, very nice indeed. All right, what should we play next? Jesse or Nina?
Let's go for Jesse. Now, some of you will be familiar with Jesse Lanza on the Hyperdub label. Now, Jesse's Canadian.
Ooh.
I love the fact that Hyperdub released this sort of neo R&B influenced pop music, as well as the more exploratory stuff they do.
This is
the third album from Jesse Lanza, the first one being Pull My Hair Back, which was quite a while ago now, maybe 4 years ago. And then there's one called Oh No. And now there's this, which is called, what, All the Time?
All the Time.
All the Time.
Jesse Lanza and Jeremy Greenspan.
Now, I thought she was pretty generous to credit Jeremy on the back cover. Jeremy Greenspan is from Junior Boys, a Canadian sort of electronic troupe.
It's got a cool record cover, this one. She's sitting in a car. And kind of looks like a car yard car. You know how normally on a car yard it would have, like, $5.99 or something written on the front. It's got Jesse Lanza there and the record's name.
I think that's a reference to back in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s in Britain, people whose name might have been Kevin and Sharon might have had their names on the side of the car they usually sit on the windscreen. I'm not kidding, it's true.
Nice.
So are you not familiar with Jesse Lanza?
No, I'm not. No, but I'm enjoying this a lot. It's got a real Robin kind of a flavour to it.
Maybe.
That sort of sparse R&B pop with a synth going on and a nice falsetto.
So where Jesse comes from, apart from Ontario, Canada, just above the Niagara Falls border, she started off in classical music.
Oh, true.
Yep, and then went to studied jazz at music college, did all of that, and said she only really sort of found her voice, not her singing voice, but her musical voice
musical
when
voice.
She started using Logic or Ableton or one of
cool.
those type things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, on Hyperdub, it's cool. Oh, I don't know whether I've seen a coloured vinyl Hyperdub record before this one. It's translucent blue.
Ooh, translucent blue.
Yeah.
Glowing.
Cool.
I'm really into this. This is awesome.
Ooh.
Ooh. Catch you by surprise, did it?
It's quite a flash, isn't it?
What you find is that the songs, while all appearing kind of relatively straightforward and simple, there's a lot of different melodic hooks in them. There's a lot of parts. It's almost like a... what's that postmodern thing where you compress sort of 40 years of history into a minute? You know, that sort of thing.
That's very Hyperdub.
That is, yeah.
These very cool photos were taken by Milos Yakimovic. I don't know who that is, but I'm going to Google them because these are great pictures.
I don't know who it is either.
If you know who that is, text in.
Tess, your opinions on Jesse Lanza?
Yeah, I'm into it. It's good. I feel like I could, this is the kind of music I could listen through from start to finish on the album and be quite happy, enjoy it.
Quite
thoroughly.
Satisfied by that. I feel like I'm going to start with this record and work my way backwards with Jesse Lanza.
That's a good idea.
All the Time is the name of this, and Lick in Heaven is the song we're listening to.
Yep.
Provocative title.
You might think that. I immediately thought it referred to a tune lick. A lick within the song.
Oh, yeah.
Not to say I don't like ice cream, because I do.
You'd hope that if you got to heaven, there might be ice cream there at least.
I don't know.
That was Jesse Lanza. All right, the third person needs very little introduction.
She does, but you'll be wondering why we're playing this.
I mean, only in the sense that I'm stoked that you've brought it in.
I know, I saw this and I was like, Rachel will be thrilled about this.
Now, we've this weekend at Southbound, we've managed to get in quite a big delivery that's been worked towards for a bit of higher quality pressings.
Awesome.
Ooh. Now, that includes things like Mobile Fidelity, SoundLabs, MoFi, Pure Pleasure. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what we're hearing now, this Nina is from a Pure Pleasure, all analog.
Cool.
Mastered. Very nicely pressed at the old EMI plant at Hayes in Middlesex in Britain.
That's awesome.
And why is this kind of cooler than just any other Nina reissue you can get? Well, they've gone back and they've used the original Bethlehem artwork. Bethlehem was the first label that put out Nina. This was her first record on Bethlehem. It's actually called Little Girl Blue, regardless of what the cover says.
Yeah, yeah. It says the original and best of Nina Simone, but yes, as Troy said, it's Little Girl Blue.
And it's her, her first album from 1958.
Nice. What a stone cold classic as well.
So why do you think something from 1958 is going to benefit from a high quality pressing? Well, one of the reasons is, of course, that the back then recording technology surpassed people's playback technology.
Yeah.
So you would, there'd be something recorded in a particular way, then they'd master it for somebody's small little suitcase stereo. They'd have to like drop the bass right down so that the needle didn't jump out of the grooves. They'd have to get rid of some of the tops to decrease the sibilance. So you had quite a mid-range sort of thump. And I mean, they sound great, those
old
records.
They do, yeah, they do.
However,
this adds a bit of depth.
Yeah, you can actually hear how splendidly recorded things were in the 1950s. And these pressings are a low noise floor, kind of vinyl formulation that doesn't give you surface noise and pops and things. So this one, like I said, is on Pure Pleasure, but we've also got... Oh, what else did I bring? What the hell is this?
A random record.
There's another cool one.
Oh, here we go. And Peebles.
That one there is on Pure Pleasure. But I brought in this Mobile Fidelity to show you, and I just grabbed one completely randomly.
Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Now, this is an original master recording, and our friends at MoFi have given us some stuff to give away at the shop. So what we do is, if you buy a MoFi record, there's one of these high-quality records at the week, and you get a MoFi tote bag or a MoFi coffee cup, or you can choose.
Oh, love that. Nice.
And you know what they look like, because I brought you one.
You did. That's very nice. This has also got a very special limited edition number on the back of this Frank Sinatra one here.
Well, Mobile Fidelity, they were the first people to really do the... I hesitate to use the word audiophile, but like high-quality records. They started in the 70s. They would do limited runs. They would only press 3,000 from each motherboard.
Yeah.
They were the first people to really adopt half-speed mastering as the standard of what they did.
That's
they developed
cool.
their own mastering system called Gain 2. Oh, wait.
You know, really, not to be cheesy and cliche about it, but it really does sound like you're in the room, especially when you've got the headphones on.
That's right, yeah.
It's a beautiful recording.
So, wait till you hear it directly from the record with no, you know, it's really cool.
Nothing
stuff.
In between.
So, we're going to have, I think we got about, I don't know, 60 something titles or more, maybe, of, you know, all kinds of stuff, jazz stuff and pop and, you know, a couple of classical things, so it's all those, as well as the massive amount of new releases this week. Don't forget, Reb Fountain's album is out this week, as is going back to the olden days, Straight Jacket Fits. Those
I saw,
are just two things.
I saw Reb's Instagram of her picking up her vinyl, and I was like, that must be so exciting for an artist to receive all of their beautiful records in the flesh, in the plastic.
I'm guessing it probably is.
Hey, Troy, thank you very much for bringing us those records today. Quickly remind us of the titles.
Okay, you just heard there Nina Simone from Little Girl Blue, a lovely Pure Pleasure pressing. Before that, the great Jessie Lanza, her new album on Hyperdub is called All The Time. And started off with a... No, it's not really called All The Time like that. We started off with a reissue of Thurston Moore's 2007 record, which is entitled Trees Outside the Academy, back on vinyl on a really nice green and cloudy, marbly
thing. Thank you very much. We'll see you in the shop.
Okay.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.